The following is an unrehearsed interview with Mary Grace Pettit, director of the George Kuhn Public Library in Princeton, Kentucky. The tape is being made for the Kentucky Oral History Commission, and the Department for Libraries and Archives is part of the project Bookmobiles and Historical Perspective. The interview is conducted by Gene Wiggins at Jerry's Restaurant at the Beaver Dam Service Area at 10 a.m. August 20, 1985. Mary Grace, I really appreciate your stopping by as you're trying to take a short vacation from work and meeting me here to participate in this particular project. I had a wonderful tour of your library in Princeton yesterday and met members of your staff and saw evidence of a lot of library activity. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and how long you've been at Princeton.
Jean, I am a native Princetonian. I was born in Princeton. My great-great-grandparents were residents of Caldwell County. In fact, one of my great-great-grandfathers built the first courthouse in Princeton. So I have many roots there and many memories of that community. As I was growing up, I loved the library, but never did I have any vision that I would ever be a librarian. Princeton has a very exciting history behind its library. It was always a community very conscious of education. There was an institution there called the Princeton Collegiate Institute, where most of the children and young adults were educated. They learned Greek, Hebrew, Latin. They were beautifully educated. In 1911, this institution was dissolved, and the little lady who was the librarian there gave her collection of library books to the city of Princeton for a public library. Now, they opened a library with the help of two literary clubs, the Book Lovers Club and the Gradatum Club. These ladies would go to the little upstairs room over one of the downtown stores and keep the library open 3 afternoons a week. In 1916, these ladies decided that this was not an adequate library for a town like Princeton, so they formed a library league under the guidance of one of the Princeton lawyers. The Library League was decided to then buy an old house which was situated at the corner of Washington and Harrison Street, the location of the present George Kuhn Library. Now, this Library League was certainly made up of dedicated women. They paid $5,000 for the house. They paid for it in a year's time. Every time one of the women wanted to buy a new hat or a new dress, they put the money into the league fund. So in a short while, they had the library paid for. By 1921, they had hired a full-time librarian. Now, by full-time back then, that meant someone who worked every afternoon for, I think, about $19 a month. But they decided that this little house was not adequate for a library. The man who had lived in this house and grew up there, his name was Mr. George Kuhn, who lived in Texas at the time. He had become wealthy. They decided to write to Mr. Kuhn and ask him if he would remember the library in his will. He did this with the provision that they would name the library the George Kuhn Library. In 1925, Mr. Kuhn died and left the Library League enough money to build a new building. Now, this building was built at about the time the Carnegie Libraries were being built around the country, and was similar, but not exactly the same. It was a beautifully constructed building and certainly served Princeton for many years, and is still serving Princeton. In 1919, Pearl Hawthorne was hired as librarian. She was a gentle person, beautifully educated, the daughter of a Presbyterian minister, and a beautiful artist. I could honestly say that she had many attributes and certainly did an outstanding job in running the library until her death in 1954. The heritage that she left for the people of Princeton in her scrapbook collection, her gathering of historical information, will be invaluable to generations for years and years and years to come. Of course, the library had little support financially from the city and none from the county. For many years, they operated on just the fines of the city. But then, as years passed, a more aggressive board of trustees became more interested in the library, and they did get appropriations from the city in a small amount for the operation of the library. In about 1955, changes began to come. Miss Pearl had died, and the board of trustees felt that they should have a full-time librarian. There was a young lady living in Princeton who had was beautifully educated, graduated from Ohio State University, and they asked her if she would be librarian of the George Coon Library. Her name was Mary Wilson Eldred. Now, Mary Wilson, as she was known throughout the state, was a very wonderful person. She was one of the very first regional librarians. In fact, Mr. Pogrodzki, who was chairman of the library board, and Gratian Pedley, who was an influential politician in the state at that time, were instrumental in getting the George Coon Library to be headquarters library for the Pennerile Regional Library, which was, I think, probably one of the very earliest of the regional libraries set up in the state. She went on to the University of Kentucky and got her master's degree so that she could serve as regional librarian and be fully qualified. Miss Eldred was truly responsible for getting libraries off to a flying start in the Pennerile Regional Library. She and her staff worked extremely hard with all librarians, getting them set up in libraries. She established libraries in counties where there had never been library service. So, as she was serving as regional librarian, the opportunity came for Caldwell County to get some money from the state. This was after the Library Services and Construction Act was passed, and it was possible for us to get enough money in the county if we would become tax supported to build a new addition to the George Coon Library. In 1966, this tax by petition was passed, and we started in 1967 collecting our first countywide tax. Now, at that time, it was not very much, but the tax has not grown with the rate of inflation, But even so, our county is supported by a library tax, and it has had to be sufficient through the years. In 1967, plans were started for the new library. In September of 1967, Ms. Eldred came to me and asked me if I would be interested in serving as librarian of the George Coon Library. Now, I had never worked outside my home. My husband had just recently died. My children were grown, and I thought, well, that could be truly an exciting venture and maybe keep me out of lots of trouble with my family. So I went back to school to college and got enough library science courses to become certified.
Where did you go to school?
Western Kentucky University, and then I, since then, have picked up, of course, about 18 hours more from different sources. But this was quite an exciting venture because I was in on the very first planning of the George Coon Library addition. The construction of it went without a hitch. It was just marvelous how well it was all planned. And 40 years to the day after the George Coon Library was dedicated, on April the 11th, 1969, the new edition of the library was dedicated. It was a very gala event with Frank Stubblefield, who was our representative at that time from Washington, and many other notable people throughout the state. It was a happy time because it had been so totally supported by the community. The two clubs that I spoke of earlier, the Book Lovers Club and the Gradatum Club, are still in existence in Caldwell County. And these clubs, known as the literary clubs of the county, have been very supportive of the library. And those women were, at that time, of course, helpful in many, many ways. After the building was dedicated, of course, more staff had to be added. And we had added staff for the children's section, which is on the second floor of the library. Almost immediately after that, Mr. Hall, who was with the Arts Commission in Frankfort, stopped into the library and he says, "What are you going to do with the old building?" And we said, "Well, we want to make it into a meeting room, conference room, a multi-purpose room, where we can have meetings and concerts and art exhibits, many different things." And he says, "Maybe I can get you a grant," which he did, "to plan this." And Mr. Carpenter, who was on the staff of the University of Kentucky Library, architect school, came to Princeton several times and designed the meeting room, which was made on the first floor of the old library. Now, this room has been used just about as hard since it was changed as the main library has. Thousands and thousands of feet and legs walk through that library a year. We have had many beautiful art exhibits in that room, much activity. It is used for our story hours for the children, and we do have about 4 a week for young children in our library. After that room was dedicated and remodeled, we felt the need to clean up the basement of the old building, which was indeed a terrible, terrible, dirty, dark dungeon. We did get another grant from the state to do this, and it was completed in about 1979. It now houses our genealogical collection, the regional office staff, and has another meeting room which will serve a smaller group of people. But there again, this remodeled basement has been a great source of joy to us, and it has freed some room on the second floor of the main library where the regional staff was located for other purposes. So this has been a real great plus for us. I cannot ever talk about libraries without praising the state for the cooperation that they give the communities who truly try to improve their libraries. I think that Caldwell County should just be praising the state every day for the financial support and the moral support that they have given to them in the development of their library service.
We certainly couldn't exist without them, and they've been a great leader and guider for all of us. It sounds also as if the community has been involved with library development since the beginning. Could you talk a little bit about your friends group or other volunteer groups who support you?
We do not have a friends group in Caldwell County. Princeton is one of the busiest little towns I have ever known in my life. And it seems that most of the same people do everything, are in everything. So for this reason, I have not been able to, with a clear conscience, ask these same people to become involved in a friends group. However, the two literary clubs have been very supportive of the library. And I think that just an indication of how the community supports the library is the use of it. Our library has probably one of the largest per capita circulations of any library in the state. And I think that this is indicative of how the community supports it. Another thing which I have noticed and has become very evident the past year is people are beginning to remember our library with bequest. And we have been able, in this just this past year, to set up a library trust or an endowment. And hopefully this will grow through the years and will be a source of income for the library as federal money becomes harder to get for public institutions. We know that we are going to have to draw from other sources. So this marvelous endowment that we have been able to set up for our library, we feel is going to be a real plus for us in the operation.
I'm certainly sure it will. Let's zero in a little bit more on the role of the bookmobile in your program. When it began and the development you have seen in bookmobile service.
I remember the first bookmobile that came to Princeton. To me, that was one of the most exciting things. I lived a very short distance outside of the city limits. But when my youngest child was 5 and 6 years old, the brand new bookmobile that had nothing on it but shiny new books came to my door and brought books for my little boy. He loved them, and so did his mother. It was a marvelous service. We were very fortunate in Caldwell County to have an outstanding bookmobile driver For many years, she was a Caldwell County native. The people of the county loved her. In fact, they called her Peaches. She was just kind of peaches and cream type person, you know. She was always warm and friendly. They called her Miss Bookbill because the children adored her. She always had a happy face and a smile for everyone. There was nothing for Lucy Lewis to leave home at 7 o'clock in the morning and be gone until 5 o'clock, you know. She just kept the dust on the highways flying with that bookmobile. She was an outstanding person. She retired in 1972. Now, to Lucy, it was more important to circulate those books than it was to worry about losing a book or two. This was Miss Willis's philosophy, you know. If you can get a book in the hands of the children, if they get it dirty, so what? And this certainly was Lucy Lewis's philosophy. And since Lucy, 13 years ago, stopped driving our bookmobile, truly the bookmobile has really not been the same. Now, I do not attribute this to all of our bookmobile librarians that we have gone through since that time. I truly think that probably part of the change came with more industry moving into Caldwell County, where maybe many, many more women were working outside the home, and they were no longer at home for the bookmobile to stop out in the county. Two, another problem that we have had is that so much of our county has been incorporated into the city limits. Caldwell County is a very small county population-wise, only 13,400 people. So that when you consider that between 8,000 and 8,500 people are inside the city limits, there are not very many people left out in the county.
Right.
So this too has probably been a factor in the reduced use of the bookmobile out in the county. So we are facing this dilemma, as some counties are, with the decreased circulation.
Does your bookmobile service schools out in the county?
We have, at this point, which is a change too, only one school outside of Princeton. That is in a small community of Fredonia. Fredonia has a population of 500 people. The bookmobile goes to Fredonia every day, one day a week, every week of the year. During school time, it goes another day. So 2 days a week it is in Fredonia during school, otherwise it's there every week. And at one time we did put a stationary bookmobile in Fredonia, and the bookmobile librarian would just drive to Fredonia every afternoon and open it up. However, we found that that was not being used any more than just the bookmobile itself. So we discontinued that after a year of trial. We felt like that if we could establish a station there and have it used, that it would be helpful to those people, but this did not seem to be true. There again, many of the women in Fredonia work outside of the home. And this is becoming more and more true. Most of the daycare centers where people come to bring their children are located in Princeton. Now, the bookmobile does have community stops out in the county, but strangely enough, there are not any little country stores very much scattered throughout the county anymore. So, other than the community of Fredonia and Farmersville, why, there are few community stores scattered throughout the county. There used to be a high school in Cobb, and the bookmobile would serve that, and then there were many county schools, but this is not true anymore, just the one school out in the county. We do service all of the kindergarten groups in the county. We do service the daycare centers. There are several of those. We do service one grade school and one middle school, but there again, the schools are doing a much better job with their own libraries, and while the children can only maybe check out one book from that library, the teachers do not see the need for the children to come on the bookmobile. I don't know whether they consider it disruptive or just what the problem is. We have one teacher who comes to the library every week and checks out maybe 30 books to put in her classroom. And she says that, you know, the children need a change of books in the classroom, and they do not have adequate number. We have a very marvelous collection of children's books in our library. In fact, one of the best in Western Kentucky. So that it is alarming when you see that children are not reading as much as they did at one time.
Do you have rest homes, industry, or other centers of population, and do you serve shut-ins with the bookmobile?
We have two nursing homes in Princeton that we do service. One of them is a nursing home for retarded people who have been brought from various institutions throughout the state. These people love books, and they love films and film strips, and we do service those people. And they love to come on the bookmobile and browse and look at the books. We also in Princeton have a sheltered workshop for retarded people. There again, these people love the bookmobile. They love books and love to come to the library. And then the other nursing home in our community, which is the only one, is served by the bookmobile. Now, we do not serve industry through our bookmobile. But we do serve many shut-ins. On our annual report this year, I was amazed at the number of shut-ins that we do serve. People inside the city and people out in the county, people who do not drive after they reach a certain age but still love to read. One of the greatest things that has happened for the people of our county is the large type book collection. Now, Caldwell County is made up of a tremendous population of retired people. Also, there are many retired people in the Lakes area. These people use our library, even though they're not in Caldwell County. Some of the people on the fringes of Hopkins County use our library. It has a larger collection than the branch library in Dawson Springs. So we have many patrons who live on the lake who come into Princeton to use our library. But there again, those people would be served by the bookmobile in Lyon County. So we do not reach out and serve them with our bookmobile.
About what percentage of your overall circulation comes through the bookmobile?
About 25%.
Is that more or less than when you first came to George Kuhn Library?
It's much less. In fact, each year it has decreased.
And you pointed out some of the reasons
right.
for that. Could you briefly enumerate them again?
Well, one, I think industry has taken more people away from home during the daytime. People are not at home to be served by the bookmobile. And there again, we maybe need to look at our scheduling and see if we can maybe serve some of these people late in the afternoon or early evening. But in the wintertime, it gets dark quite early, and I'm not sure that this would really be a successful venture. But
all right, let's turn to the other side of our tape. See that you're going the right times and hitting the centers of population. Tell me a little bit about the schedule maintained by the bookmobile.
We change our schedule with the summer months. As soon as the children get out of school, we rearrange our bookmobile schedule. We do this to take in children that are areas that are heavily populated with young families, so that these people can have the joy during the summer months of using the bookmobile. We also try to pick up families out in the county that where the children will be at home during the summer months. And then, of course, the wintertime schedule, we do take on the schools. So we are going to be examining our bookmobile service very closely the next few months because of the decrease in circulation. Our bookmobile librarian loves her job. This is a very rewarding job for her. The relationship that she has with her patrons is outstanding, and she is, I think, would work for nothing if she could just drive that bookmobile. She loves it so much. But there again, we are having a problem with the decrease in circulation on our bookmobile, and we need to know why this is happening.
You do operate 5 days a week?
We operate 4 days a week. So,
do you feel that there are special characteristics required of bookmobile librarians that are different to librarians in other positions?
I'm not sure that I do. I think that all librarians should be a caring person and a person who is interested in each individual that walks into the door and try to make them comfortable and happy with asking for information and getting the right book in the right person's hand, filling a special need for that person. I think that librarians must be really true humanitarians because they certainly reach out and affect the lives of the people that they serve. And I'm not sure that I really think a bookmobile librarian sure is any different. They have to like to drive the bookmobile, and I would say that is a real outstanding characteristic. Two, I think that they feel that it is their own little domain, and they are doing something with something that is just especially theirs.
I have heard some bookmobile librarians comment that sometimes it may become kind of a lonely world. They would like to be more closely unified with the rest of the library staff than they have an opportunity to feel at times. Could you comment on that?
Well, our bookmobile librarian comes into the library every morning and takes books for that day's needs before she starts out, and does have a nice relationship with the staff of the library. We incorporate the library in our summer reading, I mean the bookmobile, into our summer reading program, and encourage her to encourage the children out on the route to take advantage of the summer reading program. So I do not believe that our librarian feels that this is that she's isolated or anyway has a lonely life.
Right.
She is very enthusiastic about the patrons that she serves and truly spends a lot of time making selections for them. And there again, our large book collection, which is large for a library our size, is a real boon to those people who have problems seeing. It's one of our most used collections.
Does the bookmobile participate in the summer reading program or do any other special programming throughout the year?
Our bookmobile librarian has a story hour at Fredonia every week, and during the summer months they sit out under the tree and have stories and games and love it. She has 10 little children who come every week for her story hour. So she has Easter egg hunts under the tree, and she does a good job of programming for the little ones in Fredonia who are not of kindergarten age. And she does participate in our summer reading program.
Do you find a difference in the number of adults and the number of children who use the bookmobile? Is it equalized or more of one than the other?
Probably much more equal on the bookmobile than it is in the public library. Probably the ratio would be 60-40 on the bookmobile. She circulates lots of children's books on the bookmobile. Of course, more during the school year.
More during the school
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
We find often in some places that children read more during the summer reading program.
Well,
and
they do.
Summer. Is that encouragement from teachers and schools, or what makes the difference?
Probably the fact that the children can visit the bookmobile through the schools. Our children's circulation increases greatly during our summer reading program. We feel that we have had some very outstanding participation in our summer reading program in our public library.
I'm sure that through all of this history we've discussed, you must have had wonderful support from your board to have accomplished what you have.
This is true. Caldwell County had one man who was chairman of the board for many, many years. His name was Saul Pogrotsky. Saul came to Princeton in the early 20s and immediately became involved in the community. And the library was his baby, and he loved to work on the board. Came on the board probably in very early 1950s. He served on the board until just 2 years ago, before the law got him that he could only serve two terms. So he was there during all of the development. He was responsible for getting the Pennewaugh Regional Library there. He was responsible for many of the things that went on as far as a progressive library program. So I would certainly sing the praise of Mr. Pogrotsky. There was another little lady who whose name was Aline Aiken, and she served as secretary for many, many years, and part of our wonderful trust has come through her estate, and she loved it so that she did want to remember the library along with the church and the retarded school and Presbyterian Seminary and others. So, and then since that time we have had many dedicated people. The person who is chairman of our board now, Mr. Joseph Mann, has been an outstanding board member. He served at one time as treasurer of the board and then did not come back on the board, but then after he retired, he did come back on the board. So he gives us some very wonderful support now, as do all of our board members. We have a very enthusiastic board serving our library. We had another library supporter, Miss Catherine Garrett, who supported our library financially for years. She would send us a gift each year, and when the building was being built, she bricked one side of it because we didn't have enough money to do that. So when Miss Garrett died, she there again left us a downtown building to be used for library income. And after we get a new roof put on it, we can start enjoying that income, but it will be a few months before this happens. She also left her home to the library board. Now, this is an unusual situation because she left it knowing that it would be a chore to the library if she didn't leave some money to support it. So she did set up a trust fund at the Citizens Fidelity Bank in Louisville to support the home for a public museum. So our board is not only working with our library right now, they are also trying to get this home renovated or redecorated so that it can be opened up for a museum for really all of the state of Kentucky, because it is full of very beautiful antiques and can certainly be an attraction to Princeton and Caldwell County.
But it will operate under the direction of the library board?
Of the library board.
That's wonderful. I saw that house yesterday, and it's a beautiful building, and
yes,
I'm sure
it is.
Nice inside. You have suggested that you are looking very seriously at your library program to determine direction it can best serve. Could you comment on what you see in the future of bookmobiles in Kentucky?
I'm not sure what bookmobile service will be for our county in the future. When you consider the size of our county and the number of people registered as users of our library, we have probably 75 people's names registered in our library, 7,500 people's names registered in our library. This is a large portion of the readable population of the county. Now, some of our board members in the past have said, well, people who want to use the library can come into the library. I do not feel that this is always true. I think probably with the retirement age as it is in Caldwell County, where the population is has a large percentage of people over 65, that maybe one of the greatest services the bookmobile will offer is to that group of people, where they can go out and take books to the shut-ins and to the people in the homes who are no longer driving or find it difficult to get out. And we do have lots of families out in, older families out in the county, people who are trying to stay at home and who can use this service, as well as some young families who have young children at home. And I do not foresee in any time soon that we would ever discontinue a bookmobile service in our county. I think that that would be a sad day when we had to not provide this service. We have a ruling in our county that the bookmobile can only run when the school buses run in the wintertime. In the past few years, we've had some very dreadful winters in western Kentucky, and there was there were over 4 weeks this past year when you did not run our bookmobile. And there again, that cut down on the circulation of the bookmobile, and we realized that we have to take this into consideration. But Mrs. Newby is quite good about trying to reach people in town, and even if she has to do it with by automobile, she does try to keep books available for people who just have to have a book to read, you know.
The bookmobiles, many of them have been around for many years, and many of them are yelling for a replacement. Would a change in the type of service given perhaps affect the need for the type of automobile we need as a bookmobile?
When we got our present bookmobile, which was in 1981, of course, it was such an improvement over the one that we had previously that we were truly thrilled, and we still are. I think there are some mechanical improvements that can be made on all bookmobiles, and the heating and the cooling systems, and you know, the department is very aware of this. But at the time we got this one, we considered a smaller one of the van type bookmobiles, but decided that it would be too small for the needs of our county. And the bookmobile that we have is certainly a very reasonable bookmobile to operate as far as expense is concerned. We find that it has been much less expensive to operate than the old bookmobile was. The upkeep is much less on it. So we right now are not willing to go to a smaller bookmobile. Now, probably, maybe, the next librarian might want to do that, but right now I would say that we would like to keep the size that we have.
It's gratifying to hear you say that you do not see an end to bookmobile library service in Kentucky and in Caldwell County.
I realize that in some counties the need is far greater than maybe in our county. And if so many people from the county did not use our public library downtown, there again our need might be greater. But many, many people out in the county come into our library to use the public library. But I certainly am not willing at this point to not have bookmobile service. I think this would be a real tragedy. And I think that it is something that we should certainly examine and try to increase our circulation and get some answers to some of our problems.
In concluding, have you any general remarks on the effect bookmobiles in Kentucky have had on the citizens of the state?
Well, you know, for years and years I lived just outside the city limits on a farm, and I thought that one of the greatest things that happened to the farm was the homemakers clubs and rural electricity. Now, these two things kind of went hand in hand because it meant that women in the homes could do so much more after they got rural electrification. But then maybe third on the list would be bookmobile service to the people, because Kentucky being the type of state it is, very Anglo-Saxon, people are clannish. They do not branch out like maybe some other communities would. And oftentimes we have to encourage them to participate and be a part of things. And taking the books to the people, I think, has certainly been a wonderful, wonderful thing. And There again, I cannot ever talk about bookmobile or library service in Kentucky without saying that I think that Kentucky, even though they may be behind in education, I think their public library system is far ahead of many other states. We have had people come to our library from California to New York, and they never, ever come into our library without commenting on what a wonderful collection of books we have, what a great library it is for a community the size of Princeton. And so that had to be made possible through the state Kentucky Department of Libraries. And their support has certainly reached out into all of the lives of the citizens of Kentucky.
Thank you very much, Mary Grace, for meeting me here this morning, for reviewing the years of library service you have given to the state of Kentucky and the role of the bookmobile in the state. This tape is an unrehearsed interview with Mary Grace Pettit. It's being made for the Kentucky Oral History Commission and the Department for Libraries and Archives as part of the project The Bookmobile, an Historical Perspective. The interview is conducted by Gene Wiggins at George Coon Public Library in Princeton, Kentucky, on December 20th, 1985. Mary Grace, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in libraries, and particularly in George Coon Public Library.
Jean, little did I realize ever that I would be a librarian when I was younger. I grew up loving to read, and I spent many hours in the old George Coon Library. But I was more interested in my musical career. I studied piano and organ and things, anything to do with music. And a person who practices 3 or 4 hours a day doesn't often have 3 or 4 hours a day to read. But in 1966, my husband passed away, and a few months later, a friend, Miss Eldred, who was director of the Regional Library in Princeton, Pennyryle Regional Library, asked me if I would be interested in going back to school and getting enough library science courses to become qualified as librarian of the George Coon Library. They were getting ready to go into a building program, and after giving it some thought and talking to my children about it, I decided that this might be a very exciting thing at this time in my life to do. And I have never regretted one minute that I decided to do this. It has been a rewarding experience. I've learned to know many people that I did not know. It has many people have touched my lives because I had worked in the library that I would have missed otherwise. So that it has been a great experience for me, and will miss it when I retire.
I'm sure the same could be said for your patrons in expressing their feeling toward you. Let's hear a little bit about the library itself.
Princeton has always been a library-minded town. The first public library in Princeton was started in 1911, when the old Princeton Collegiate Institute was dissolved and became the Princeton High School. The little lady Mrs. Miller, who was librarian, gave all of the furniture and the tables, the fixtures, even the rugs off the floor, as well as the books, to the city of Princeton for a public library. Now, the first public library was held over Eldridge Hardware Store in downtown Princeton. The ladies of the Book Lovers Club and the Gradatum Club kept the library open 2 afternoons a week. They worked extremely hard in promoting the library. And after a few years, they decided that this was no good just on a volunteer basis. So they hired a librarian, Miss Pearl Hawthorne, to head the library. Now, this was in 1919. Miss Pearl was a beautifully educated woman. She was gentle and kind and sweet to everyone, and the children adored her. She whispered all of the time in the library. She never raised her voice and expected no one else to. She was a beautiful artist. She was interested in the history of Princeton and Caldwell County. The heritage that Miss Pearl left this library is just marvelous. She left many beautiful scrapbooks, collected historical data about people, events, old homes, the old courthouse. There's just an unlimited source of material in this library that would not be here had it not been for Miss Pearl. But then, after they hired Miss Pearl, they decided that that little room over the hardware store was no good either. So they gained some information from one of the attorneys in Princeton, and he advised them to form the Princeton Library League, which they did, and the two clubs bought a home in downtown Princeton to make a new library. Now, this home was the former home of a man named Mr. George Coon. Mr. Coon had lived in Princeton many years, but moved away and lived in Texas. The ladies paid for the library in a year's time. They made a deposit of $1,200 for the property, and then none of them bought a new dress or a hat for a year, and every time they wanted a new dress, they put the money into the pot for the new library. The library, it was a great day and a real celebration in downtown Princeton the day the note was burned for the library. But then, after a few years, they decided this was not sufficient. So they wrote to Mr. Coon in Texas and asked him if he would build or leave them some money in his will to build a new library. And this did come to pass in 1926. And on April the 11th, 1929, a beautiful new library was built in Princeton, similar to the style of the old Carnegie libraries, right on the property where Mr. Coon had lived as a man, a young man. The library progressed along like this for a few years with no income. Miss Pearl was paid about $19 a month, and gradually it got up to a maximum of $50 a month. And she continued to collect her data and was just a very fine librarian. And then, with the support of new board members, the library truly began to become stronger because they were able to get additional income from other sources. Mr. Pogrodzki came on the board in 1954. Mr. Pogrodzki was indeed a unique man. He moved to Princeton in 1923. He was a Jew and was an Orthodox Jew. Yet, when he became on the board of the library, he accepted this as his challenge. The library was his project, and he supported it daily with his presence in the library and any advice that he could give to the librarians or any support. There was another member, Aline Aiken, who was secretary of the board at that time. She, too, was a great supporter of the library. Mr. Pogrodzki was instrumental in getting the regional library in Princeton, along with Gratian Pedley, who was a publisher of Princeton paper at that time, and a very close friend of Happy Chandler, and a strong politician in the state. So that Mr. Pogrodzki was a very aggressive man and did much to further the programs of the library. He was instrumental in hiring Mary Wilson Eldred, who was the first librarian after Miss Pearl died in 1953 or 4. He was instrumental in getting the Pennyrile Regional Library in Princeton and having her appointed as the regional librarian. Now, Mary Wilson was probably one of the first regional librarians in the state. She was a graduate of Ohio State University, and before she took the job as regional librarian, went to the University of Kentucky and got her master's degree so that she would be fully qualified. She was loved by all of the librarians throughout the state, but certainly did a tremendous amount to establish libraries in the Pennyrile region. Every community in the region had a library by the time she retired, so that she was indeed a marvelous person. She was instrumental in getting me to come to the George Coon Library. Any questions?
On the early history?
All right.
And you came here when?
In 1968.
So you've seen a lot of years of growth.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about the bookmobile and when it entered the scene.
Let's talk just a minute about a little bit about the George Coon growth.
All right.
Speaking of growth, because I did not say that... Because of Miss Eldred, she was closely allied with Miss Willis in Frankfurt, and she knew that federal money was going to become available. So in 1966, an interested group of women, again, members of the two book clubs who had supported the library all through the years, carried a petition around Caldwell County and got enough names to establish a 4-cent tax, property tax, in support of the library. Now, tax in Caldwell County is a dirty word, so that accomplishing this was indeed some feat. In 1969, on April the 11th, exactly 40 years after the George Coon Library was dedicated, the new Caldwell County District Library was dedicated. We had to have an official district library name, but we do operate under the George Coon Library. Just before the building started, Miss Eldred asked me if I would come as librarian, and I went to school and got my courses, but I was on hand all during the planning of the building, the construction of it. It was a marvelous experience to me to see how beautifully everyone worked together, and the project apparently went without any problems at all. So that from 1969 on, we were instrumental in having the new library to operate from. Now about this time, Mr. Hall, who was on the Arts Commission in Frankfurt, came in our library one day and said, "Well, what are you going to do with the old library?" And we expressed that we would like to have a community room, a place for audio visuals or art exhibits or piano recitals or what have you, because we do have a very beautiful Steinway piano in our library. And he says, "Well, I think I can get you a grant for someone from the University of Kentucky maybe to design the room for this multi-purpose." And indeed, he did. Mr. Carpenter from the architect school at the University of Kentucky came down and designed the room, and it has been used extensively ever since. It was remodeled the year after we opened our present building on the other side, and has had much activity, many outstanding, beautiful art exhibits, and we use it 4 times a week or 5 times a week now for story hours for children, and there's just much activity here. All civic clubs are encouraged to use a room for their meetings anytime. There is no charge. It's just been a wonderful asset to the library.
Do you find that that also encourages the people to stop by before and after meetings and check out some books and use
this
library
materials?
This is true.
And if, for instance, if the garden club is meeting here, which they do, if we have books in our collection that they are interested in, they come down and get them. Or any other group that is in the library, particularly for daytime meetings, we do put out displays of books that might interest them. The Garden Club has also been a tremendous supporter of the library. They decorate our this meeting room each year for Christmas, and there again it is used for many parties and festive occasions during the holiday season, because people can come into a winter wonderland or a Christmas wonderland in this room.
So the library becomes a community center in many ways, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Well, it seems to be a very active one and a very interesting background.
I would like to talk some about the beginning of the bookmobile service in Princeton, because in doing some research on this, I found that Caldwell County was a part of that original celebration at the fairgrounds in Louisville in September 1954. Governor Lawrence Weatherby, on behalf of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, presented to the fiscal court of Representative Woodrow Thomas with the library on wheels before 7,000 spectators at the fairgrounds. A total of 84 bookmobiles representing 86 counties were turned over at this mass presentation. The ceremonies climaxed a 19-month drive to secure $300,000 raised by private subscription for the purchase of all of these bookmobiles. And their stocks of books, beautiful new books. It was hoped that the Kentucky Bookmobile Project would raise the state to the top in providing library services from its former status of being 47th of the 48 states. Mrs. Barry Bingham was project chairman, and you spoke earlier about her enthusiasm for the project. And Harry W. Schachter was finance campaign chairman. And actually, my information says that the project idea originated with Mr. Schachter. And all of the other leaders in the project were on hand and did contribute to the afternoon with brief addresses. Originally, there were 5 persons selected by the county judge, who was William Pickering at that time, to act as trustees of the bookmobile operation in Caldwell County. The first committee members were Woodrow Thomas, who was chairman, who received the bookmobile in Louisville that day, Miss Anna Dean McElroy, who was an educator, Mrs. Ray Martin, who was a homemaker, Mrs. G.C. Crenshaw, who was an educator, and Mrs. H.C. Russell, who was a homemaker. They named the first bookmobile Knowledge on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
The local sponsors of the first bookmobile were the fiscal court, the Caldwell County Board of Education, the Princeton Kiwanis Club, the Princeton Rotary Club, Thomas Industries, which was an industry in Princeton at that time, the big Thomas industry lighting business, was the donor of the bookmobile. Mayor Howard Stone, who worked for Thomas Industries, accepted the bookmobile. The fiscal court agreed to pay the salary of the first bookmobile librarian, and this marvelous service was a sheer joy to the people of the county with its new books and the enthusiastic bookmobile driver that we had. The most loved of all of our bookmobile drivers was named Lucy Lewis. She was known by her friends throughout the county. Can you erase that back just a little bit? Get rid of that. Lucy was loved throughout the county, both by children and adults. She was warm and friendly and was indeed a peaches and cream person. She was called Miss Bookville by many of the children, or Miss Bookmobile, but she was warm and friendly. There was nothing for Lucy to leave home at 7 o'clock in the morning and return at 5 in the afternoon. Lucy's husband was a farmer, I.Z., and I.Z. loved the bookmobile as much as Lucy did and encouraged her to get out and circulate in the county. Of course, when she started, many of our roads were dusty and full of holes, but she would jog along with the dust flying behind. Of course, the books were dusty too, but she spent lots of time cleaning and keeping her collection up. Lucy had several exciting experiences on that bookmobile. There were a couple of fires, in fact. One time, she was just a half a block from a filling station, and they were able to put the fire out for her. But another time, she was out in the county, removed from everyone, on a very steep hill, and she had to back the bookmobile down the hill and try to find water to put the fire out. She was really a very courageous woman to have not gone to pieces over an incident like this. She often served as doctor. When someone had a headache, she always had some aspirin on hand to give them. One time, some children ran out of the house and stopped her and says, "Oh, Miss Lewis, our mama is sick. Come and help us." When Lucy retired in 1974, we had a Lucy Lewis Day, and people from all over the county came to wish her well in her retirement. It was a happy, joyous day because we could see how much Lucy had been loved by so many. And if we needed her in the library or were in a real pinch, on the days off when she was not working, she would even supply in the library. It was seldom that she went home at the end of the day empty-handed when she was traveling throughout the county. She always had flowers or bulbs or fruit or vegetables. They were constantly giving her things to eat. And I think this is pretty true still of our bookmobile librarians. They have a great rapport with people out in the county, and people share their goodies with them throughout the year.
It's really an added benefit of bookmobile librarianship,
right.
I think. But it's also essential, isn't it, to activating an interest in the books?
Yes, I think it is. It shows that they are interested, the bookmobile librarians are interested in their patrons as individuals and what is going on in their lives. And this is very, very important, just as it is in your public library, you know. You want to make all people comfortable who walk through your door, and this is true with the bookmobile just as well. Lucy was a marvelous, marvelous person. We have gone through many librarians, bookmobile librarians, since her day, and some of them just didn't like to drive the bookmobile. They were intimidated by it. When we got our new bookmobile in 1981, we found that it drove so much easier. It had power steering and power brakes, and it was just sheer joy in comparison to the old bookmobile. But it takes a special kind of person to be a bookmobile librarian, because some people don't like to drive. Some people are just not that interested in people. So that being a bookmobile librarian does take a special type of personality. Mrs. Newby, who is our bookmobile librarian at the present, loves it. She, I think, would work for nothing if she just could drive that bookmobile. And occasionally when we jokingly threaten her, why, she says, well, you're just going to be out of luck. No way can you get rid of me. But she is interested in doing a good job. Mrs. Lewis probably would have worked on, except that she did become a diabetic and was afraid that her diabetes could possibly affect her driving. So she did give up her job. It was wonderful to have access to beautiful new books when the bookmobile service started. I lived just outside the city limits in the county when my children were small. And I remember when my youngest son was 6 years old, the bookmobile was just beginning in Caldwell County. And it stopped at my door with beautiful new children's books every 2 weeks. And it was a wonderful experience for him to go on the bookmobile and select the books that he wanted to read. But it was also a wonderful experience to have those books, beautiful new books, so that we could sit down and enjoy each other in sharing those books. And this is something that we just simply can't seem to encourage parents to do enough of, reading to your child. Not very long ago, I heard some statistics on the state of Tennessee that 80% of the people who entered the community colleges needed remedial help. And they attributed it to the fact that parents did not read to their child when they were young. Now, I notice they're reviving our Read to Your Child for the Fun of It program, and I'm so delighted that they are, because this is something we need as librarians to do every day, is encourage young mothers to read to their children. Of course, when the bookmobile service first started, we are aware that women did not work out of the home like they do today. Industry came to Caldwell County in the early 60s. One factory alone, Arvin Industry, employed over 1,000 women. And this really created a change in the way of life for women in Caldwell County, because few of them had ever worked away from home before. There were other industries that came that took women out of the home. The bookmobile really started before the advent of television, so that people did not have television to occupy their lives. And this too affected the amount that people read. We find that most people do not read to their children like they once did. And our children's circulation has certainly decreased through the years.
What type of places did you stop with the bookmobile in the early years?
In the early years, there were many schools scattered throughout the county. The schools in Caldwell County were not consolidated until the late 50s. There was a high school at a community called Cobb. There was a high school at Farmersville and a high school in Fredonia and a high school out at Friendship. There were just lots and lots of county grade schools and high schools scattered throughout the county. And then upon consolidation, all of the schools were brought inside of Princeton with the exception of the schools in Fredonia. Fredonia is a community of 500 people, and they had a high school until up in the 60s. So in the early days, the bookmobile did service all of the county schools. And this is one reason that the circulation of the bookmobile was so much greater than it is. Lucy Lewis wanted a book in every child's hand. She followed the philosophy of Miss Willis that if a child had a book and got it dirty or lost it, at least they had been exposed to a wonderful book.
Let's pause for a moment while we turn the tape.
The bookmobile still serves the schools that we have. It does not serve the county high school. But because the county high school has a very adequate library for the amount that it is used, I often say that children in Caldwell County High School could not graduate and be as knowledgeable without the George Kuhn Library. But the librarian there does an outstanding job with what she has. But our grade schools have much better libraries than they used to. I remember the old high school library, that the books were old and they were dingy and they were yellow and they were not attractive. But this is no longer the case. Our schools have lovely libraries. The Fredonia School does not have a large library, and our bookmobile does go to Fredonia every week to the school. Now, they also go to Fredonia once a week just to serve the patrons of the town, so that during the school year, the bookmobile is there twice every week, and during the summer months, just one day a week. But Fredonia being the only community of our county of any size, it does go there every week. We do not have very many country stores left in Caldwell County. To my knowledge, there is one in Farmersville, and that is just about the only community store. There is one in the north end of the county, Barnes' store. But people do not loaf in country stores like they used to in Caldwell County. It's strange. I remember when I first started working in the library that Saturday was the busiest day of the library. And now Saturday in downtown Princeton is almost a dead day. The merchants are not busy, and we're not nearly as busy on Saturday. People come to town other days of the week. The transportation pattern in the county has totally changed. Probably Friday is a much busier day than Saturday. But the bookmobile does serve all of the kindergartens in the county, and it does serve all of the schools except the high school. We have two nursing homes in the county. One of the nursing homes is called Highland Home, and the people who are there are, they're paid for by the state. They are retarded people who have been brought in from other sections of the state. But these people love books, they love pictures, and they love magazines. And It's been a wonderful relationship for our bookmobile librarian to go to Highland Home. And then, of course, the people in the nursing homes, many of them use the bookmobile, and particularly do they like our collection of large type books. A few years ago, we got a state grant to buy a collection and have tried to add to this collection every year. And it has been a wonderful asset to the library and to the citizens of the county. Caldwell County is a county of a large population of retired people. We, along with the area on the lakes where the people have retired, serve many, many retired people. Many people on the lakes drive into Princeton to use our library, and particularly our large type collection. We have one of the best collections in Western Kentucky, so it has been a real asset.
Do you carry a lot of those large type books on the bookmobile?
Yes.
Also?
Yes. And our bookmobile librarian comes into the library every morning before she starts her route and selects books for the people on her route for that day. If they've read everything on the bookmobile, she finds something in the library that they have not read. So we do serve a large percentage of our population is retired people.
Do you have a large number of shut-ins served by the bookmobile?
Yes, I think this is one of the most rewarding experiences that the bookmobile librarian has, is visiting with the shut-ins of the community. Many of them live inside the city limits. They maybe do not have family, are unable to get out, do not drive any longer. And these people truly appreciate the bookmobile. If they are temporarily ill and need books to read, we take them to them. We do have a marvelous rapport with the people in the community who are shut-ins. We also have a deposit station for our large type books at the Senior Citizens Center. Many of the people who go there had rather check out a book at the center than coming to the library. Mm-hmm.
They're at home there.
Right.
Do you have other deposit stations any place in the county?
No, we do not have. We tried when we got our new bookmobile. We kept the old bookmobile and decided that we would have a stationary bookmobile in Fredonia. And our bookmobile librarian would go to Fredonia and open it up after lunch and hoping that people would come and use it. But we found that they really did not use it anymore circulation-wise by having it there every day than they did having it there for 2 days a week. So after a year's trial, we did move that bookmobile and gave it back to the state so that someone else could use it if they needed it. Our bookmobile librarian does have a story hour at Fredonia every week. She has at least 10 little children who love to come. During the summer months, she has a story hour under the tree where it's shady. They have Easter egg hunts, and she has a party at every opportunity to have a party for the children. They love it, and these children who are not in kindergarten yet really enjoy Miss Doobie, as they call her, instead of Mrs. Newby, Miss Doobie.
Yeah. Does the bookmobile also supply materials, non-book materials?
Yes, she has magazines, and our generating system on our bookmobile does not work as well as it should, and she sometimes has problems trying to use AV equipment on the bookmobile. And if someone requests records, why, she does take records, but sometimes it gets pretty warm on there and the records could be damaged. Mm-hmm. But
she does just supply them by
request. Mm-hmm, right. Anything that anyone wants from the library is available through the bookmobile.
How many days a week does your bookmobile operate?
She operates 4 days a week, Tuesday through Friday, and is in Fredonia Thursday and Tuesday for the school run. She travels to all corners of the county. She goes, makes a broad sweep out into the county, reaching people, and tries to reach homes that have small children at home and have real need for bookmobile service. Our bookmobile circulation has shockingly declined in the past few years, and we are in the process of trying to do an analysis of what has really caused this.
Can you mention some of the things you feel may be the cause?
Well, I'm not sure that I really know all of the causes. Part of it is has happened since industry has come and people are not at home. Part of it is that young people as a whole are reading less. Unless a child is brought to the library by their parents or to their bookmobile, I think the television has had a great influence on the reading habits of children. And I just so wish that we could make parents realize that television shouldn't be babysitters, that it would be much better to have a book in the hand of the child or sitting having that personal contact with the child instead of allowing them to watch anything on television that used to turn the channel to.
I'm sure the consolidation of the school has had its effect, as you pointed out earlier.
Yes, with the consolidation of the school libraries have improved. And it's very difficult when you go to a large school to determine which child is going to be able to come on the bookmobile to check out books, because if you have 500 children in a school, they can't all get on the bookmobile, and it is difficult. And trying to schedule the children to come takes some time on the part of the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers seem so busy that they're not always willing to take this time. Now, we have one young teacher who feels that the children in her room need a change of books every week. They get tired of looking at the same one. And she makes it a point to come to the library to check out 30 books every week to put in her classroom so that the children can have access to exciting new books every week. But there again, she's an exception.
How do the schools usually use the bookmobile? Is a class allowed to come, or do they send representatives from the class?
They send representatives from the classes to the bookmobile. And there again, we lose a few books, but if the child has been exposed to a book, that's just fine. We don't get upset over the book loss that we have. Actually, it's very, very low.
That's good. You say that you are studying the causes of the loss. Do you see cause to change the type of bookmobile service we offer in the future?
Well, I was reading something about what was going to be happening in the year 2000 just a few days ago, and I'm sure that there will be great changes in all areas of service. But for right now, I cannot see that we will anytime in the near future discontinue bookmobile service. I think that would be a real tragedy, because we do reach people who need the service. And the new bookmobiles are much more economical to operate than the old bookmobiles were. The repairs on them are not as extensive as they once were. They take less gas. It's just our bookmobile is economical to operate. We so far have not had lots of problems with it. But I think that this one-on-one contact with a person for a shut-in is just wonderful for them. And I cannot foresee that any time in the future that we might change or discontinue bookmobile service in Caldwell County. I think that would be a real tragedy. We reschedule our program for the bookmobile just as soon as school is out. We set up a different type of schedule. We service all of the subdivisions within the city limits with the bookmobile during the summer months, where the children are concentrated, and the children really look forward to having the bookmobile come to them during the summer months. And then if someone out in the county is babysitting for groups of children, you know, during the summer months, we also make special stops for them. This has been helpful to lots of people. She goes to an early start learning center in town, and they use a great number of books off the bookmobile, exposing children to books. We have a We Care center that comes and uses the bookmobile, but it also comes to the library every week. Many of these daycare centers do use both the library and the bookmobile. But the summer schedule is centered in trying to concentrate on areas where the children are. We also encourage the bookmobile librarian to participate in the summer reading program. Of course, the children inside the city limits and even out in the county had much rather come to the library for the reading program because so many children are involved and it's so much more fun. And I think that the George Coon Library has had some outstanding summer reading programs. So it's understandable that a child would want to come where the action is during the summer months. But those children who cannot get into the library have participated, and all of the material is available through the bookmobile, and the certificates and awards and that type of thing. They have their own criteria set up where they can participate and be rewarded for what they've done during the summer months.
Do I hear you saying that the concentration of bookmobile use is with older people and with children?
We have, I'm sure, lots of young women who use the bookmobile. But I would say, even though the children's circulation has dropped drastically, that our largest percentage of use is still by adults. So, and I'm not sure. I would say that probably our older readers do read more than even the young people. So many of the young people work away from home.
What percentage of your overall circulation comes through the bookmobile?
Well, it would not exceed 25%. Last winter, our bookmobile was unable to run for four weeks because of the snow and ice on the road. We have a policy that when the school buses don't run, the bookmobile doesn't run. So I'm sure that last year that would be one factor in the decrease in circulation. We lost a 4 months bookmobile circulation. But even so, when you consider that when Lucy Lewis started, we would circulate 60,000 books on the bookmobile,
it's just almost as though the 60,000 or the 20,000 or 60,000 and the 40,000 or whatever has just turned around to the library instead of on the bookmobile, so that we truly do not have as many circulated on the bookmobile as we used to. Plus, I think that, you know, people used to automatically review things on the bookmobile in the libraries, and they'd go through at the end of every day and stamp a card for renewal, and, you know, we don't have that system anymore. So that makes a difference, too.
Right. Well, people are more mobile now than they were even when the bookmobile started. That, I'm sure, makes a difference. Is your main library open in the evenings and on weekends?
We're open 57 hours a week. We are open two evenings a week. We are not open on Sunday, but we are open all day Saturday. We're open 6 days a week, 57 hours a week, and that's a lot for a little town of this size, you know.
It is.
Yeah. But we're busy all of the time. And we get here actually an hour before we open every morning, so, you know, we're staffed for 60-something hours a week.
Does the bookmobile librarian have a close working relationship with the other members of the library staff?
I feel that she does, because she comes into the library at 8 o'clock every morning and spends 30 minutes to 45 minutes with the other staff getting books for her patrons for the day. And she's very conscientious about this, and has very good rapport with the librarians. Now, there's just one thing that I could really see that maybe a computer might help us in our relationship with the bookmobile librarian. Sometimes we get so upset because we can't find a book, and it's on the bookmobile. And I'm sure this is true with all librarians,
right.
You know. But it would be helpful if we always knew where those books were, you know, because oftentimes we'll finally say, well, Margaret, do you have such a... Well, yes, I've got that book, she says. But she does have good rapport, and it's on the days that she is not able to run, she will work in the library, and today she's not running, so she's filing magazines in a periodical room, so she's very cooperative and has good rapport with everybody.
The bookmobile operates 4 days, you said. Does she work in the library on the fifth day?
No,
or
she
is
does
she's,
not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's only employed for 4 days. And I think that we could not mention the bookmobile service in the state of Kentucky without mentioning the people who have been such marvelous people throughout the state in supporting public libraries. Under Burt Combs' regime as governor, he elevated the status of the library system to a department, and this increased the importance of the Department of Libraries. And about that time, Miss Willis became librarian, and there just has never been a state librarian like Margaret Willis, because she was determined that there would be a library and a bookmobile operating in every county in the state. And this just about came to pass during her regime as librarian, and there has never been anyone who has been more enthusiastic toward library service than Miss Willis. And certainly, Caldwell County would not have the kind of library that it has without the support of our state. People come to this library from California to New York and Florida. We have many people coming in to use our genealogical collection from all over the United States, and they're always amazed at the marvelous library this community has. And I think they would be equally amazed at many other libraries in the state. But certainly, this library would not have accomplished what it has, as well as the others, without the state assistance. Now, this being a regional headquarters library, most people think this is the reason it's such a good library, but this is not necessarily so. Regional staff certainly has contributed a great deal to it, and we are compensated some each year for additional books and that type of thing in our reference collection. But Princeton has always been a library-minded town and taken advantage of the opportunities that have come their way, and certainly the opportunities from the Kentucky Department of Library have been invaluable to this library in both bookmobile service and the operation of the George Coon Library.
It's a wonderful network.
Yes, it certainly is.
We get a lot of support from each other. You certainly indicate a great deal of community support of your library program. I'm sure your trustees have been extremely supportive of bookmobile service throughout the years, as well as the main library?
Yes. Mr. Pogrodzki was a strong supporter of the library. He made the people of the county realize what a privilege it was to have a library in our county, of the type of library that we had. He had marvelous rapport with the county people, even though he was a merchant downtown. He had a little dry goods store, the place where the women came to buy their quilt pieces, you know, this type of a relationship. And he never ceased to say something nice about the library or ask them if they use the library and encourage them to do so. We have had all of our board members through the years have been supportive. It has just come home to us in the past year how much people in the community have supported and admired the library. We've had some marvelous bequests come to us and have been able to set up a library trust fund at one of the banks, which will be invaluable to us as federal aid becomes harder to get in the years in the future. Just recently in one of the Kiplinger letters, they indicated that federal aid was going to be cut to public libraries, and I believe this is true. I think there's so many other demands for federal money that some things are going to have to be cut, and I do anticipate that library services will be one of those areas of cutbacks. But with the establishment of our trust, which will yield good interest to us every year, we realize that this will be invaluable in the operation of our library and our bookmobile. We have had also support from individuals who have not only left money to the library, but have given gifts each year to the library. Miss Catherine Garrett, who died a year and a half ago, gave us a wonderful check every December. She also bricked one side of our building when we were building our new building because we didn't have the money to do it. We feel like that she paid for the big parking lot at the rear of the library with her gift every year because she would say, apply to that parking lot. So this is what we did. And when she died, she left essentially all of her estate to the library. She was a wealthy woman and owned half of downtown Princeton. And the sale from her buildings will go into the library trust. The trust is being handled by the Citizens Fidelity Bank in Louisville. She left her beautiful home to the library to be opened as a museum. And this will be done, hopefully, by midsummer of 1986. there should be enough money generated from the trust that there will be no financial strain in any way on the budget of the George Coon Library. So our wonderful, supportive trustees are now not only busy ironing out the problems of the library and the bookmobile, but also trying to get our museum opened by 1986, the summer of 86.
So that will be another extension of library service to Caldwell County.
As well as Western Kentucky. We've had people from the Historical Society say that this should be beneficial to the entire state. The home is filled with magnificent furniture.
Well, it's good to know that the library here is very much alive and that the bookmobile program is here to stay. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think it is here to stay. It may not stay in the same physical sense that it is now, but I think that we will always be serving those people out in the county who cannot get in and use the library services for one reason or another.
Thank you so much, Mary Grace, for this contribution to the history of the bookmobile in Kentucky.